The political aspect is the second most significant aspect of the resurrection. Second most. But before we look at this second most aspect, let's look at the most significant, preeminent aspect of the resurrection, the empty tomb. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's begin with the 17th verse, looking at the most significant aspect of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 17. And if Christ, let me know if I'm going too fast. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, empty, worthless, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, meaning they're going to go to hell. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied, meaning we deserve more pity than anyone else because our condition is the most miserable of all. But what is all of that? What's the condition for all of that? The first part of verse 17, if Christ has not been raised. So the first significance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that we are redeemed from our sins by the grace and mercy of God. Yes. Glory be to God, through his atoning sacrifice and substitutionary death on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He has been raised, and our faith is not in vain. However, now, the apostle Paul here makes it absolutely clear that the cross without the empty tomb, the resurrection, means that we are still dead in our sins. It means that our sins are still upon us. He makes that crystal clear, does he not?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's just not just the cross, it's the cross and the empty tomb and the resurrection. So we can't just stop at the cross. The fact that he rose again, the fact that the tomb is empty, means that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is true. That salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look back up near the beginning of this chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. Apostle Paul spoke of two issues that were of priority in beginning with verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, go back to verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. What is he reminding us of? The gospel. You see that in verse 1. Verse 2. And by which, what's the which? The gospel, you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word, the gospel, I preach to you, unless you believed in the gospel in vain. For I delivered, what? The gospel to you as of first importance. And that's what pulpits are missing out now. This is first importance, I mention this to you, which I also received. What did I receive? The gospel. And what is it? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, the gospel. And then he stopped right there. Thank you. He went on to verse 4. I love the note, and it was a note with attitude too. Nope. Verse 4, that he was buried. Did he stop right there? Nope. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Empty tomb, according to the gospel. Now, you may say, well, where's the politics? What's political about that? Now, I see the first significance, which is the empty tomb, the resurrection, means that the gospel is true, our sins have been removed. But what about politics? Are you talking about politics throughout today's headlines as we know them? Nope. Nope. We're talking about politics at its essence, at its core, at the heart of it. You have to realize that term has just been really mangled in today's vernacular. But at the heart of it, you're going to be surprised. At the heart of it, politics is all through the resurrection. This brings us to the second significant aspect of the resurrection, the political aspect. Let's first define politics. Politics is the active, we're talking about the core. So listen to the definition. We're not talking about Republican, Democrat. We're not talking about whatever the politics are in Canada, over in Europe, over in various parts of Africa. We're talking about politics, the definition, and its root, core, source. The activities associated with the governance. The word governance means to exercise power, authority, and control of a political entity. The activities associated with the governance or the governing or the exercising of power, authority, and control of a political entity, such as a nation, and I'm going to try to get this up on the screen if I can, such as a nation, and the administration and control of its internal and external affairs. I'm going to repeat that a few more times, so hold on 1 second. The activities associated with the governance, which means, again, to exercise power, authority, and control of a political entity such as a nation, country, area, state, and so forth, city, and the administration and control of its internal and external affairs. So meaning all of the going-ons within that specific political entity, within that city, within that country, within that nation, within that state. Then there's a general overall definition, the ordering of the entire cosmos and the rightful rule. The ordering of the entire cosmos and the rightful rule. Let me see if I can... I can get this come up. Okay, it's not. All right. So the activities associated with the governance of a political entity, such as a nation, and the administration and control of its internal and external affairs, overall meaning the ordering of the entire cosmos and the rightful rule. Think about that, that definition, you kind of can see where this is going to go. It's the governing, the exercising of power, authority, and control over an area. And you're dealing with both things that happen internally to it and those that are external to it. And that's why we talk about politics of the resurrection. Now, there is no statement that is more essentially political, if you will, than what we'll find in Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Huh? Okay, you got it? All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Junior, light is on your phone. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Who is him? Jesus. And bestowed on him, Jesus, the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is one of the most political statements you'll see in all of the scripture. He's in charge. Very political. Because these verses deal with who is going to rule over whom and who is going to be subject to whom. Who is going to exercise authority, power, and control? And notice it was the resurrection that brought the Lord Jesus Christ into this status, if you will. You follow that? The resurrection brought him to this point where he is Lord over all. And consequently, every knee will bow to him forevermore. So in the end, who is the ruler over all? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
None other than the one who was crucified and was resurrected for our sins. Look back in that same, you're still in Philippians 2, right? Go back to verse 7. Look back at verse 7. And you'll see some sequencing, meaning this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Philippians 2, look at verse 7. But made himself, talking about Jesus, made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. When he became a man, if he was wrapped in flesh, he took on the form of a slave, word is doulos, became nothing. When you compare, even the greatest of men, of humans down here, are nothing compared to the glorified Jesus, glorified Son of God, rather, in all of his glory in heaven, in eternity. Nothing compared to that. So he made himself nothing by becoming a slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Just didn't obey him a little bit. He obeyed him all the way to death. Not even just death, but the horrible death on the cross. Do you see the sequencing? Then verse 9. Therefore, meaning as a result of Jesus making himself nothing, taking on the form of a slave, born in like a sinful flesh, took on human form, humbling himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. Because of all of that, God made a unilateral executive decision. What was that? To highly exalt him and bestow on him the name, the title that is above every name. That title is Lord. I don't care about no presidents, kings, emperors. None of that compares to Lord. Every knee. Hallelujah. Can you see the politics? I run this. So God made a unilateral. Unilateral means he didn't meet with anybody. A uni. One. Made a decision all by himself. And said that Jesus would govern the entire cosmos forever. Hallelujah. Once he rose from the dead. Thank God for an empty tomb. Thank God for an empty tomb. Isaiah tells us, listen to this word, that the government will be upon his shoulders. Did it not say that?
Yes,
we never put that together. The government. should be upon his shoulders. And then in Luke, it says concerning Jesus' kingdom, his kingdom, there will be no end to his kingdom. He will reign forever. Let's look at those two. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's look at this these political statements. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We got it? All right. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, I've explained this before, but it bears repeating. For to us a child is born, because that's why Jesus, listen to it closely, because in the first hearing of it, you're going to say, okay, he's gone crazy. Jesus didn't always exist. Because that's the name of his humanity. So the child was born. But the son, who he is as God, could not be born. He was given. That's why John 3:16 so clearly states that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 1 verse 14 lets us know that God's son was wrapped in flesh. In Matthew 1 and about verse 20, 21 lets us know that you will call this child that Mary's going to have, you'll call his name Jesus. That's the child who was born, Jesus, but the son was given, his only begotten son. Let's keep reading. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. When this governor governs, it's going to be peace everywhere, and it will never end. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God Almighty. That's political. Hallelujah. On the throne of David, when you see thrones and kingdoms, that's all. That's politics. It's political. Keep reading verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with, here we go, justice and righteousness. That's all politics. Justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. This kingdom run by the great king, or the governor who governs the nations, will govern where peace is everywhere. And he says he'll do it with justice and with righteousness. There will be no backroom deals, and there will be no partiality where you allow one group over another. Hallelujah. Ooh, I can't. Ooh, what you said? What was Phyllis? I got me a tear in that girl. Ooh, wee! That's why I want to get up out of here. I'm here, like Apostle Paul said, for you. I'm here for him, rather, which means for you. I'm not here for me. If I had a choice, right now, I'm gone. The devil has perverted politics. But this is pure politics. This is pure political. Pure. Look at Luke, please. The Gospel of Dr. Luke, chapter 1, verse 33. Chapter 1, verse 33. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Woo-wee! We got something to look forward to. Our hope is not in this life. Oh, no, it's not. Yeah. Why? Because he's risen. That tomb is empty. Hallelujah. He's not there. Hallelujah. Luke 1:33. And he will reign. There we go. Over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. There is no presidential four-term situation. His term is forever. Hallelujah. You can't impeach him. You wouldn't want to. Hallelujah. Glory be to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hold on. We're not through. There's politics in the Great Commission. You say, okay, you're taking this too far. What you been sniffing on, dude? You need to take a seat? Sleep it off and then come back. Come back to it. Nope. There's politics in the Great Commission. I'm going to show you. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Turn to Matthew, please. The 28th chapter of the former tax collector who was saved by grace. Glory be to God. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18. Then I get to it. Everybody got it? Because I did the comment. Okay. Yeah, just lift the hand. You can take your time this minute, please. Yeah? You got it now? All right, just lift your hand. I get to get happy. You need going too fast. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority. See, we can't get away from it now. All authority. We just said that politics is the governance and the authority. We just said, did we not say that? We're talking about in its essence. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. I am the political ruler of the entire cosmos. All authority. When did he get that? Once he rose. Remember, look, Matthew 28. He rose in 27. 28, now because the tomb is empty, the politics of the resurrection, all authority. And in case you got confused what all means, he said in heaven and in earth. Let me clear it up for you. I love the Lord teaching. I try to pattern myself after him. He's crystal clear in his teaching. Because you want to get it twisted. I'm talking about I got it all in heaven and in earth. And they're given unto me. And because I am now in charge, I send you out because I got the right to send, because I got the authority. So verse 19, go you therefore to all the nations and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And then what? The great political, great governor, the great king says, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. I'm with you. And you go out there and you live in your thing and evangelize and make it disciples out of people, teaching them, I'm with you, right in there with you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm a governor and a king and a president that stays right with the people.
Yes, you do. Yes,
I ain't off in the White House. Yes. I'm living inside of you.
Yes, you are.
I'm living in the house of the Lord in you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He ain't off somewhere where you got to go travel to go see him. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will continue there because we open up there. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll continue beginning at verse 20. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 18, please. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians 15. Uh-huh. Verse 18. Okay. Mom, you got it? Okay. Then those who have fallen asleep, what does that mean? Who have died in Christ, they were saved and died, have perished. If he hasn't raised from the dead, then they died and they're going to go to hell like the sinner. If he hasn't rose from the dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. So we're in trouble. But look at verse 20. But in fact, See, Paul, what he's doing here, starting in verse 20, he gets to the politics of the resurrection of the empty tomb. He says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Keep reading with me. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, meaning he was a preeminent one, and then everybody's going to follow after him. He was first and preeminent and foremost. Doesn't mean the first one raised from the dead, because Lazarus was raised from the dead, and you had the little baby boy on the way to Nain. Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead, and you had some other folk raised. So he wasn't the first one ever raised from the dead. He's the most important one. That's what that word means. He's the premier one. He's the most significant one. And then because the most significant, most premier one is raised from the dead, we follow. We're the first fruits of those who are going to come after him. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 21. For as by a man came death, who was that? Adam. By a man, Christ Jesus, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. You say, well, we go to the politics. Here we go. Here then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom, that's your politics, to God the Father. Look at all this political. After destroying every rule, every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Can you see all of that in there? We never saw that before. Again, notice, all this is political. It's about reigning. It's about rule. It's about authority. It's about lordship. He vanished all of his enemies so that he must reign. He must reign, verse 25. He must reign, and he will reign. He will reign universally. He will reign unconditionally. And he will reign eternally. Because before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, it was determined that he was going to be the ultimate governor of the entire cosmos forevermore. This is amazing language, isn't it? Ruling, authority, power. The world thinks it owns stuff. The world thinks that it is in control. The world is thinking that it is determining those who rule and those who will have power and authority. Now, there are earthly powers. Sure there are. But we need to understand, as one person wrote, the biggest truth for Christians to recognize is that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means the eventual end of all of those earthly powers. Do I need to repeat that? Sure, we do it. The biggest truth for Christians to recognize is this, that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth means the eventual end of all authority, powers that are here on earth. It's all going to end. Remember what we just read in Philippians chapter 2. We just read that every knee is going to bow. We just read every tongue is going to come forth. We just read that. Why? Because it's going to be the end of all of them. And all of them are going to bow to him. Every knee, every tongue. Of every person, living or dead, rich or poor, all ethnicities, all kings, all presidents, all popes. Not only that, all nations, every empire, every government, every president, every prime minister, every potentate, every earthly judge, every emperor, every empire will bow their knee and confess with their tongues that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And they're going to do that forevermore. Because of his kingdom, there will be no end. Woo! I'm going to preach myself happy. Woo, I got to get myself together up here. Hallelujah. What you worried about?
Amen.
Excuse my ghetto. What you worried about? What you? How you spell what you? How you spell what you? What you worried about? Do you believe the Bible or not?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Oh. Hey, right now we're in a veil of tears, though. We are.
Yes, yes.
So it's okay to cry. It's okay to weep and moan. Amen. We're not there yet. But boy, we got something to look forward to. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. We got hope. And this hope in Romans 5 will not disappoint. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Our hope is anchored on the word of God. I mean anchored.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Turn to Revelation, please, chapter 21. Revelation. You going to know. There's politics and Revelation. Yes, it is. All the way to the very end. Revelation 21. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's even political, because the decision was to just wipe the whole thing out and start again. So now there's a new heaven, a new earth. Remember, we talking about you governing an area. There's a new whole cosmos. Holy new. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, that city, see, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Wow, it's amazing. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Before we get into verse 4, I want to make a preface on this. So the rule of the Lord God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ throughout their kingdom, throughout this cosmos, throughout this new heaven and this new earth, is so perfect. Verse 4 happens. Let's read. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Ooh-wee! Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Woo! For the former things have passed away. Woo-wee! Ah. Ah, just too much. It's amazing. There will be never another tear. Never another tear. These are tears of just extreme joy and gratitude. That's what these are. It's just so grandiose. It's just unbelievable. Hallelujah. There's so much pain in this world, and there's so much mourning and so many tears, so much death and crying and pain. But the politics of this kingdom, the rule, is so perfect. That he's going to wipe away every tear. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. Gotta meditate on that. We need, when you're just feeling just broken, we've all been there. We just need to put that verse up in front of our eyes. Why are you crying? That's cool to cry. But realize I'm not going to be crying all the time.
Amen.
I'm not going to always be crying.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to always be in pain. There's a lot of emotional pain today like never before. I'm not going to always be. If you're born again, you got hope.
Yes.
Woo-wee. You got hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a mighty God. The former things have passed away. Here's a great comment from a commentator concerning the former things that passed away. What's included in those former things? Every material object. It's not just the objects. It's not just the landscape. It's not just the stuff. It's also the powers. The powers that be. The powers of this present evil age, as Paul writes. We're talking about legislatures, city councils, talking about school boards, voluntary associations. We're talking about empires, kingdoms, nations, countries. We're talking about presidents and prime ministers. The former things will pass away. He said, now seeing all this in light of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ does not mean that empires and kingdoms and presidents and prime ministers and laws and politics, they don't matter. They do. But Christians need to recognize there is no government on earth. There is no earthly power that will ever be able to wipe away every tear from eyes. Not one. I don't care how great a government may be. They can't do what this governor can do. He has promised, and he cannot lie. A God who cannot lie has promised, I'm wiping away every tear. I'm taking away all crying, all pain. I'm removing death. Hallelujah. That only comes in the kingdom that is governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In that chapter that we're reading, chapter 21 of Revelation, skip down to verse 22. Skip down to verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. I don't know if you're catching all that. In a city, you know, what's the main thing in the city hall? You know, you gotta realize all this is political. Every state has a capital, and that capital is the main political house. Well, this is the same. They know it's a city. In that city, this is their White House, or this is their capital. It's the temple. Notice it says, and read it again. I saw no temple in the city, because in the city there was a temple. For his temple is the Lord God. He's the building. He's the White House. He's the capital. For a temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And by its light, here go politics, and by its light, all the nations walk, and the kings, of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They, who is they? The kings in verse 24, will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. And what they're going to do, which is implied in there, they're going to bring their glory and bring that honor and subject it to God's glory and honor. So in the end, all of the politicians, if you will, who hold any sort of office, eventually is going to bring their glory and honor and submit it to the King of those who will be king. And to see that we've been hearing King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Those are both political too. It's King of those who would be king, and Lord, he's Lord of those who rule as Lord. The commentator ends up, all around us and all throughout human history, there are empires and emperors, kings and kingdoms. There are powers that be. But as the biblical worldview and as the promise of the gospel makes clear, there will come a day when every single one of those kings will show up once again. They will show up to bring their glory to the New Jerusalem and to give that glory to God. Revelation 22, and we're done. Revelation 22. The next chapter, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his slaves will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. And there they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. Yes. And they, who is that? Verse 3, the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 5, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the politics of the resurrection. Father God, we are overwhelmed right now by the presence of the Holy Ghost. Overwhelmed by your presence. Thank you. As if I can go back to my charismatic apostolic roots, for visiting us in a special way today.
Yes.
Through your word, Father, not through just emotions and through pyrotechnics, but through your word. Thank you for answering our prayer. I believe we have ears to hear. We heard today like never before. Thank you, Father, that our hope is not in this life, nor is it in this world's passing rewards. But our hope is in a life that will never end. Our hope is in you, Lord Jesus, our risen King and ascended Lord. Even death itself could not hold you and keep you in that grave. Jesus, we come before you. Thank you, Father, all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen.